The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
The Rockets are going to be going in Toronto, yeah. And that could be something that might end their winning streak. Potentially a NBA Finals preview, although I don't know how much I trust Toronto. If gun to head, I would probably still say Warriors and Cavs or Warriors and Celtics in the NBA Finals this year.
Yeah, that's a good game. And that's probably, you know, that's the test, because if they win that, I don't know when they're going to lose.
I think if this was the Texans and you would ask me if Tom Savage had a run like he did last year, I would say you have to pay him and you'd have to basically eat what he's doing now.
The problem is the Ravens, they're cap strapped, first of all, which means that it's going to be tough for them to bring in free agents. They have major needs. Wide receiver is a major need for them at this point.
But if you don't have a quarterback, do you really need... I mean, Joe Flacco, I feel like, is on the downside.
You're married to him.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
No Fred Fowler, John Lee here with A.J. Hoffman. This is hour number three of The Blitz. How's it going for you?
I think it's good. I think it's strong.
Yeah.
Are you nervous now that we're on the map?
Oh, we are on the map. What's up, Matt?
Did someone connect us? Are we connected?
We're on the map, right?
We're on the map, yeah.
Boom. What's up, Matt?
Yeah, your first time on the map, huh?
My first time on the map.
Pop your map cherry.
Yeah, yeah. And you chugged that energy drink in like 30 minutes. Like, you finished that in what, less than 30 minutes?
Less than 30 minutes. It took a while to get here because intern Andy, like, I thought I did a pretty good job of describing where that convenience store was.
Yeah, but he went to the other one across the freeway. I guess across 59 and Chimney Rock. Because there's one on Westheimer and Chimney Rock right here.
I guess so. Well, I don't know what to tell you.
I always don't like listening to myself, you know, on the air. It just, I feel like I sound a little nasally. So, like, listening to the rewind, it's a little, you know, I'm kind of cringeworthy. And then, I don't know. That's why I didn't have the headphones on when the rewind was going on. Do you ever get that where you're kind of like, I don't like the sound of my voice?
Yeah, I don't like to hear my voice back.
But you have a more deep voice than I do. I think when I listen back to some of the shows, I kind of, when I talk, I sound real nasally. And obviously, I don't hear that in my head because it's, you know, it doesn't sound like that. I sound deeper than I actually am, but it's, you know, I don't like listening to myself over again.
I don't think anybody likes that.
No, it just sounds weird to hear your voice coming back.
But
the ladies love my voice.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. I hear it all the time. They say, God, your voice, like, you're not very good looking, but that gets me.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's up, ladies?
This has nothing to do with sports, but my nation of South Korea.
Your nation.
I think when the show started, I think Trump popped his head out during a briefing meeting with South Korea. And so they're going to make a major announcement within the next, I guess, around this time at 6. And if it's about unifying North and South Korea, I feel very bad about it. And I don't know why people in Korea want to unify, just because the economics of it all. North Korea and versus South Korea. South Korea is so much more economically stable than North Korea. And if you unify, you're just bringing down the economy of South Korea even more. And I don't know why they're even meeting
Why would you even, I mean, the only way it would make sense is if North Korea said, okay, we will be a democracy and we want to unify and we want to be under whoever the president of South Korea is.
But I can't,
that's not going
to
happen.
I mean, I can't imagine Kim Jong-un wanting to do that.
Zero chance.
I don't know. I guess the announcements taking place, I think they're all, the media is lining up outside of the White House. And I guess they're just waiting the announcement. But yeah, that's just not very encouraging for us Koreans. And a lot of people over there want to unify, which I don't understand. And there was a bunch of protests going on during the Olympics. I don't get it, but maybe because I'm not in it.
Why didn't you protest?
I don't think they would have let me take it. You would have been even more furious for me taking days off to go protest at South Korea.
We don't have time for that. But you could always go protest over here.
On Westheimer?
On Westheimer and Post Oak. That's where every big protest happens. Every protest with foreigners happens there. That's like the meeting spot.
That's true. I don't know.
You should just go out there and hold a sign.
In a cheerleading outfit?
You would lose all credibility. All credibility.
You have any plays for the people tonight?
Basically, you can listen to that section that segment with Brad Powers. That segment with Brad Powers. I kind of went over everything that I'm looking at tonight. So, and I've kind of been talking about them on Twitter and as I go, I've been throwing them out there. The only one I didn't get to post on Twitter because it was sort of a last minute deal was Providence, and as you saw. That was a stressful game. There was
a lot of cursing and
yes, it was like they were tied, and then I said okay, I had 4 points, I wanted Creighton to go down and win the game, and then of course they lose the ball and it goes to overtime, and I thought ugh, there's no way I never win in overtime, but I won in overtime so. Got lucky.
You are you up for the day? You had Alabama, right? Or did you have A&M?
No,
you had Aggie?
I had A&M. I'm up for the day now because the stakes on my Providence game were higher than my normal play. So that got me up. I'd really like to win this Cal State Fullerton game. That's it's not looking good. I'm down 5, 10.5 minutes to go. So...
Yeah, because the Creighton game, when you walked in and you were watching the game, you were kind of like, you're cursing at the TV. I was like, there's 3 minutes left, you know, you need to calm down. But the 3 minutes in college basketball go quicker than the 3 minutes in NBA. Because, the college game seems to be, there's the longer shot clock, teams run down the floor, there's, you know, defense isn't as good, so you get more made shots. But then towards the end of the game, you kind of get that foul fest. But, I'm happy for you. Made some money.
Yeah. Doing all right. If it were you, if I would have given you that play, you would have just took that money and blown it all on blackjack. Blackjack.
Of course. I mean, that's... I know blackjack is a game where, you know, you lose a lot. You lose more than you win. But it's so... Yeah. It's so I don't know. For me, I just get... I guess I'm kind of addicted to blackjack. I'd sit there and just kind of... Because it's a fast game.
When you get up, you don't want to quit.
Yeah.
When you get down, you don't want to quit.
Yeah.
Blackjack's tough for me, too, because I love it because it's action. I love that action. Yeah. I always want it. I want it... Like, in poker, sometimes I'll sit around for 20 minutes and not play a hand. Blackjack, always action. Yeah, it is dangerous though. I usually lose at blackjack.
I went on my bachelor party. I think I went up like 200-300 bucks. I just count that as a victory.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, you know, not having to pay for anything at the bachelor party, you know, helps too. Any chance that I can play blackjack at a casino, I think I'll sit down and play. I love playing poker, but I would never, for some reason, I don't go to casinos and play poker. I tell myself I need to play poker because I think I'm an okay poker player. I think I can make some money, but for some reason that blackjack table always has me.
Poker just intimidates me at a casino. Like there's guys who obviously are way better at it than me, so I don't want to sit down and just be the guy who coughs up money to him every hand, you know?
Yeah. That and I think you need a big bankroll to play poker at a casino. Yeah. If you roll up in there with $200.
If you play cash, you can play tournament poker and everybody pays their $80 and, you know, everybody starts on equal footing. Yeah, if you sit down to play cash and all you've got in your pocket is $200, chances are good you're going to lose it. But if you play tournament poker, and I prefer tournament poker anyway, like I like to sit down and play the tournaments. And if you bust out, you can always rebuy. But, you know, you're not going to lose $600 in a night. That's usually a good thing. Unless you take your poker winnings and then go play blackjack, then you can easily lose $600 in a night. I don't know from experience or anything, but I've heard that that happens. There was a time when Fred and I, we got to the final table and he and I were the last two and we just split the winnings. It was a really big tournament. We made some really nice money. And I went and blew all of my money shooting dice and playing blackjack. And as I was walking back to the hotel or back to my hotel room, I walked by Fred and he's built a pyramid of empty shot glasses. That's how he blew his money. So we both blew our money just in completely different ways.
Hey, AJ, what are you doing?
I'll be up in the room in a little bit. I'll be ready to go tomorrow.
I'll see you tomorrow. Right? We're doing interviews?
Yeah, I'll see you there. Oh, boy. The good old days. All right. I got to tell you about Tri Eagle Energy. Listen, guys, there's a lot of energy providers out there, and they'll promise you a bunch of stuff, and they'll tell you, oh, we'll give you the free days. We'll give you free weekends. We'll give you $600 a bonus. Well, they're fooling you. They're trying to pull the wool over the proverbial wool over your eyes. You may have fallen for one of those offers. Months down the road, you find out that you're paying a higher rate or there's additional fees on your bill. Not Tri Eagle Energy. They keep it simple. The rate you see, it's the rate you pay. No gimmicks, no minimum usage fees, no charges if you go over a certain amount of electricity. Just good, solid customer service and good, solid energy. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE, or log on to TriEagleEnergy.com. Use promo code ESPN. You'll get a special discount. PUCT license number 10064 for Tri Eagle Energy.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
No Fred Fowler, John Lee here with A.J. Hoffman. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, or hit us up on Twitter. I'm at John Snow, and A.J. is at A.J. is the Real. And in that last segment, we were talking about, we briefly mentioned U.S. and, I guess, North Korea. They're meeting with South Korea right now, but it just broke that Trump basically is agreeing to meet Kim Jong-un in May, and they're talking about denuclearizing North Korea, and they're going to meet in May sometime. I don't know how well that's going to go.
You don't know how well a meeting between two massive egomaniacs is going to work out. You don't think it'll be like simple and to the point?
Whose is bigger?
Right.
Which... And Lamont brings up the fact that Dennis Rodman kind of orchestrated this whole thing, I guess a couple years ago, and I think he went over there last year too. But yeah it's crazy how like the triangle of Dennis Rodman, Kim Jong Un, and Donald Trump is gonna lead to some kind of peace agreement.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to lead to a peace agreement.
We'll see.
To be honest, I think it's a total mess.
If I'm Donald Trump, I'd bring Dennis Rodman with me. See how that goes out.
Not a bad move.
I mean, I guess they're buddies, Dennis Rodman and Kim Jong-un.
True.
So there's that. But there's something that you wanted to talk about, right? Steve Francis, this article that he did on the Player Tribune.
Yeah, that was...
I didn't get to read it yet.
Okay. Well, it's kind of weird that Steve Francis... is even bringing this up. I guess maybe it's weird that it's happening now. It feels like almost a situation where no one's talking about him, so he wants people to talk about him. But I'm not sure. It feels unusual that this story would come out now. And this story is basically that When he was a kid, he sold crack. He said that when he was a kid, he would wait outside the Chinese restaurant, sit on the curb by the payphone, looking all innocent, and whenever the phone would ring, I'd answer it. It was always people looking for drugs, looking for girls, looking for whatever. I'd tell them where to meet the dealers, and that was it. He was considered a phone boy. He said, 4 years before I was on that plane with Hakeem telling me we're going to shopping for cashmere suits together, 4 years before I was about to go play against Gary Payton, I was on the corner of Maple Avenue in Tacoma Park, Maryland, selling drugs outside the Chinese joint. He said his father was in jail. His mother had died. And he grew up during the crack epidemic. He said crack devastated our entire community. It was like a plague, man. I watched it. I lived it. I sold it. He said, at 18, I'm selling baggies on the corner, getting robbed at gunpoint. At 22, I'm getting drafted into the NBA, shaking David Stern's hand. Pretty wild. Pretty wild story.
I can't. I mean, there's pictures of Steve on the internet from a couple years ago that looks like he has what it looks like he's smoking from a crack pipe.
Yeah.
And he denies, I'm guessing he denies all these reports about him actually doing crack. But I don't know, man. I think maybe it's, maybe this is coming out now because he can finally move past this. He said, I think he said he's he was addicted to alcohol. He was he was abusing alcohol, and maybe he's finally clean. So now he can finally talk about what
maybe
happened.
Maybe so. Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah, and man, he was like, when I was growing up, I guess, let's see, Steve came into the league in the late 90s, mid 90s, right?
99, I think.
99, late 90s. So he was the transition between Hakeem to the Steve Francis, the lowly Steve Francis and Cuttino Mobley era, which at the time I thought it was kind of cool to see Steve Francis play because, I mean, at the time when I grew up with the Rockets in the early, in the mid 90s when they were winning the championship, they really didn't have that one ISO player. Clyde was kind of an ISO player that you could kind of see and go, wow, like this guy can really play. Steve was kind of that guy when I was growing up with the Rockets. And then when, you know, when the when Hakeem left and it was Steve and Cuttino, they were very mediocre at the time until until they drafted Yao. But he was a very, I enjoyed watching him play. So when I saw the stuff after his playing career come out, it was kind of disheartening a little bit.
Let me. There's one more part of the story, and he there was. He says, "I know, and I know people were asking what the hell happened to Steve Francis, but the hardest part was reading some bull bleep on the internet saying that I was on crack. When I thought about my grandmother reading that or my kids reading that, that broke my heart. Listen, I sold crack when I was growing up. I'll own up to that, but never, ever in my life did I ever do crack." He said he was just drinking heavily. And that can be just as bad. He said, in the span of a few years, I lost basketball. I lost my whole identity. I lost my stepfather who committed suicide. In April of last year, he pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor charge of DWI, was fined, and his sentence was basically time served. Entered an alcohol rehab after his arrest in November of 2016. Apparently that didn't work because April 2017, he got a DWI. But now he's saying that he's got some, he said he's not all the way back, but he did say he's found some perspective in thinking, how damn crazy is it I ever played 1 minute in the NBA, and this is the only thing I want people to remember. So he says he never smoked crack.
I mean,
you don't believe him.
I don't know. There are pictures on the internet that look like it's Steve Francis smoking a crack pipe.
It could easily be Photoshopped.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. But I think his, after he got drafted, played a couple years here, and then got, you know, traded for Tracy McGrady. That's when his career kind of took a nosedive, and I'm sure that's when, maybe that's when the drinking started. You know, I remember him sitting in that lottery chair because the Rockets didn't have much of a chance of moving up to at least the number one pick, and he was there, and they won the lottery that year, and you know, it was Jay Williams or Yao Ming. And I think initially Steve was kind of opposed to drafting Yao, but warmed up to the idea. And I think...
and they're like, oh, you don't like it? You're gone. Tracy McGrady, come on.
No, but I think him and Yao were really, really good friends while he spent his time in Houston. And then, you know, Tracy wanted out of Orlando. And Steve Francis was, you know, a pretty good player in the league and kind of made that swap. And that's probably when his career took a nosedive, and then he I think he ended up with the Knicks after that, and his career basically over.
Yeah.
And then people snatching his chain a couple years ago, and you know him come you know getting arrested for DUIs, and it's been a rough, you know, 20 years for you know Mr. Steve Francis, and hoping and praying for the best for him, and hopefully this is kind of a step in the right direction to get his life in order.
Hopefully so.
Yeah.
But who knows? He himself says it ain't totally in order yet.
Oh, I'm sure it's not, you know, I'm sure it's not easy at all, especially if you're doing, if you're dealing with problems with any type of abuse.
Yep.
It's really, really hard, especially, you know, with alcohol, it's everywhere. Like your friend, even if you're not drinking, your friends are drinking. And
yeah.
It's just when you go to parties, when you go to housewarmings, and there's alcohol everywhere, and that's
I never go to parties.
Yeah, you're not a people person.
No.
If Jermaine invited you to his barbecue cookout, you wouldn't go?
No. What if someone tried to get me to smoke crack at that party?
You'd say no.
It's not that easy. Ask Steve Francis. You see, like that, just say no. You think it's that easy? No. It's never that easy.
Well, I mean, if you're not addicted to it, I feel like it's a little easier, but...
Well, no one's ever addicted the first time they try crack. It's usually after the first time. They're like, oh, man, I need to smoke crack again.
It's the curiosity that gets
you. Yeah. I don't have an addictive personality, though. That's one thing that I've got going for me. You guys know how much beer I drink.
Yes.
And then when it was time, like, I was like, okay, I just need to stop drinking for a month. I just stopped drinking. And it's like, it's not a problem for me. I've done hard drugs in my life, and I did them for a while, and I was like, man, this is getting pretty dumb. Maybe I should just stop doing this. And I just stopped doing it.
Yeah. Some people have more of a hard time.
Some people have, like, an addictive personality with stuff like that.
Well, Jonathan Singleton apparently got...
That's bull. You can't be addicted to weed. That's a made-up story. That is made up.
I mean, he thought that weed was more important than his playing career.
Well, he's an idiot.
And so did Josh Gordon. So
idiots.
And hopefully, I mean, I think Josh Gordon now says that he's not smoking anymore, but, you know, that's probably a lie. But, man, only 30 minutes left.
That's
in
it.
In the show.
That's it.
All right, we'll be back.
Feel strong?
Yeah, feel strong.
You gonna finish this thing with a vengeance? With, huh?
Yeah. We have a couple more things that we want to hit when we come back. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
No Fred Fowler. John Lee here with A.J. We have 25 minutes left, two segments left in the show.
Yeah, baby.
It felt very, very fast. Like, the shows go by pretty quickly, I think.
Yeah, sometimes it's like, it's kind of like sex. It's
do you like them when they go by pretty quickly?
No, but when you're making love to a beautiful woman, you're always thinking, man, this is going well, and you think like I've got to really be satisfying her.
Uh-huh.
And then it's over and you look at the clock and literally 3 minutes have gone by. It's like, what? That's at least a half hour. What?
Was that your first time? 3 minutes?
Oh, I wish. My first time. I've said this before. When I was talking about the problem you had.
Oh yeah.
When you couldn't achieve orgasm.
Yeah.
Your first couple times. I had no such problems. Like I was literally done like 30 seconds in, and then I just like kept going and pretending like I wasn't done, and then I did a fake orgasm at the end to like. To say, oh, I'm done. I'm so like, and that was like maybe at the like a minute and a half mark. So it was still totally a humiliating amount of time, but it was better than 30, 45 seconds.
But it wasn't her first time, was it?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. See, no, she was a slut. You kidding me?
Yeah, and this, which is why I think like the actual like being addicted to porn is a real thing. Which
because you were addicted to porn,
I was. And
what was your favorite kind? What was your go to?
It was amateur, actually.
You liked that, huh?
Yeah, like the.
Did you like Asian porn?
Yeah, I could do that.
But was it only Asian porn?
Like, no. It was anything.
The bad thing about Asian porn is like there's a lot of blurred out.
Oh no! Not like Asian, like just
right.
You know,
like just American porn with Asian actors.
Yeah.
Okay, but if you found a white porno or a black porno, that was okay for you.
That was fine.
Okay.
But you know, I haven't.
You watch black porno.
It's whatever.
It didn't make you feel inadequate.
No. But
as Fred would say,
interesting.
That's interesting. Yeah,
I see
there.
No, but I've kind of given that up, and
off of it, like the Kansas City Royals.
Yes,
look at you.
Yeah, anti-porn.
Because all you do is have sex with your lady all the time now.
I mean, it's you're more
fornicator now.
It's more enjoyable
you
when you're not
sins.
Yes, it's more enjoyable when you're not actually, you know, because it's. I went about what, let's see, from high school until I was like 28-ish. No, before that, like 27, 26, before I met Teresa. And that was my first time. And it was with her, you know, when we first, you know, had relations, it was a little.
When you first made love,
it was a little hard to achieve, and I did some research on the internet, and it said that porn addiction can, you know, give you some problems with, you know, achieving, you know, orgasm. Yeah. So I kind of took a long, hard look in the mirror and decided that I can't do this anymore, and now it's more.
You're off of it.
Yeah, I'm off of it.
Does Teresa ever send you nudes?
No. Why?
I don't know, like I was just thinking, like if you're ever away from her for a while, will she help you out?
I don't think we've ever been away from each other for that long.
Okay.
Just I think the bachelor party, which is which was like 4 days, that was about it. But you know, we were talking about quarterbacks coming up in this draft class, and we never got around to your thoughts on Mr. One Josh Rosen. And Mike Lombardi had some thoughts about Josh Rosen and what he heard around the combine. And this is him appearing on, I think this is Ben Simmons' podcast with somebody else on The Ringer, the NFL show. And he gave his thoughts on what he heard around the league.
The actual combine, there were teams that were worried about his makeup was some of the stories that were coming out, and he tried to get ahead of some of that stuff. I mean, I saw some headlines, you know, leading into the combine this past Saturday saying that Josh Rosen, you know, loves football. He wants to be, he's 100% in on football. I mean, did he help himself this week? And I've seen some people that think that Rosen still may be a top pick.
I don't know if he did, Kate Frazier. I think to me what I'm hearing was it was okay. I think he's going to have to prove it. You know, he's coming back saying he loves football. I've talked to some people where he might like humanitarian work more than football. I don't know. Nothing wrong with that, but I don't know where his values really lie. I think this is a really hard quarterback class.
Does he seem like somebody, like Josh Rosen, does he seem like somebody that you want leading your football team? Like, I want to get your thoughts on Josh Rosen. He kind of screams to me like...
I think Josh Rosen can play.
A better version of Jimmy Clausen.
Yeah, that's sort of accurate. Yeah, I'm just not into, like, I'm not into Josh Rosen, the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into Josh Rosen, the quarterback, but obviously you can't disconnect the two.
Yeah, and I think your comparison of him and Jay Cutler was pretty spot on.
It's different, but it's still apathy. And that's what I think you've got from both guys.
And all reports say that he wants to be more of a humanitarian, which isn't a bad thing. It's kind of like what, you know, Tim Tebow is a humanitarian. But I think the bigger issue is him, his attitude problem that apparently that he had at UCLA and some of the stuff that came out of the combine. I think that's giving more teams pause about making this guy the number one pick.
Right.
And I don't think Josh Rosen or Josh Allen?
If I had to pick one, I would pick Josh Rosen.
And for some reason, I don't understand where this Josh Allen hype is coming from. He was a what, mid 50% completion rate quarterback.
He had a horrible season.
And in this year before, we had a quote-unquote better season. He still threw in the 50% range. And that's something that I don't want in a quarterback is inaccuracy. He would overthrow or underthrow or completely miss his wide receivers while he was in Wyoming. It's just I don't understand where this hype is coming from.
I've said all along, if I were an NFL GM, and granted, it's easy for me to sit here and say it because I am not I'm not the GM of a team that doesn't have a quarterback. But if I were a GM of a team at the top of the draft, the only quarterback I would consider is Sam Darnold.
But even Sam Darnold does have those question marks about
Everybody
him.
Has them. Yeah. But Sam Darnold's, I feel like I can deal with. And I think Sam Darnold's a good dude. I think Sam Darnold's teammates like him. I think stuff like that goes a long way. And I think Sam Darnold can play. So I feel much safer with him than with anyone else. Anyone else, I'd be like, okay, if they're around in the second round, I'll look at him. Even knowing that some of them won't be, I'd rather wait for something else or try to figure something else out.
Can you imagine potentially five quarterbacks can be taken in the first round this year?
I think there will be. It's crazy.
I mean, was it?
I like one of them.
Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, Lamar Jackson, and
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. But from a pure on the field. Just success on the field. I think Baker Mayfield might be my favorite, but
Baker Mayfield had the best season last
year. But I don't trust his off the field stuff. Him running from cops, his attitude problem. That something similar to what Josh Rosen has, that attitude. And honestly, you say that you're not an NFL GM or somebody that's a scout, but we can sit here and clearly see that some of these guys can't play. And it just astonishes me that we get Blake Bortles, we get Jake Locker, we get, Josh Allen, that these type of quarterbacks, we can clearly see in college that they can't play and they get drafted in the top 10 and top 15 anyway.
Yeah.
And these guys, these scouts are getting paid hundreds and thousands of dollars to do their job, and they're not doing their job. And I feel like if you get drafted by Cleveland, that's kind of almost a death sentence for a quarterback. Like if Sam Darnold gets drafted by Cleveland, what's the percentage? What are the odds that he's a success there? Andrew Luck, another good example. He got drafted by the Colts, which
were horrible.
Was bad organization. And
I don't think anybody. I don't know that any of these guys would succeed if they go to Cleveland.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I think that place is cursed.
Could be.
Yeah, for quarterbacks anyway.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I got to tell you about Republic Harley Davidson. I went out there and test drove a Road King the other day. It was awesome, and I'm about to take my bike in to get serviced again. My bike. And they're the only dealership I trust to take care of my bike, Republic Harley-Davidson. I live up, like, Klein area, and I drive by four dealerships on my way to Republic, but I don't care because I know these are the guys I want working on my bike. They've got seven master technicians on staff, seven, way more than any other Harley dealership. Some of those dealerships have hourly employees taking apart and putting back together your bike. I don't want that. That's not the case at Republic Harley-Davidson. They've got a fantastic inventory, about 100 brand new bikes on the showroom floor, every model, every color you could imagine, tons outside pre-owned. And right now, when you buy a new Harley at Republic, you get maintenance for life. How can you beat that, guys? Go see them. They're going to get you on the Harley of your dreams. And they've got the first bike night of the year coming up Thursday, March 15th from 6 to 9. They'll host bike nights every third Thursday of the month through October. Join the party. They'll have live music, an outdoor stage, food, door prizes, and they're giving away a Harley. You can only register to win at bike night, though. So the more times during the year you come to bike night, more chances you have to register, more chances you have to win a new bike. In October, one lucky winner is going to walk away with a brand new Harley. Whatever your Harley needs, service, new or pre-owned, merchandise, riding classes, Republic Harley-Davidson's the best in Houston. Financing for everyone. They'll get you on a bike. 12707 Southwest Freeway in Stafford, just outside the Beltway, or online at republichd.com. All right, let's go to my man Aubrey Theodi with Dirt Free. Aubrey, how you doing, man?
Hey, guys. Beautiful afternoon. Sunshine and birds are singing. Every day is, even though you got those rainy days, we still work for every one of those days. And when you've got the most advanced cleaning technology, I mean, I can dry the carpet sometimes 20, 30, 40 minutes when it's raining outside. So we have something different. Now imagine carpet cleaning before I came up with this technology, you had three-day dry times. You've got everyone and their mother, these companies, trying to catch up to our no soaps, chemical residues, or tap water. We've invented our own machine, our own wand, our own pre-spot, our own super water. The truck itself is a power plant that's 600 horsepower rolling down the road. We've been working on an engine where we're remanning an engine to power one of the systems, you know, in the truck. And man, the twin turbos and the things that come from that power plant cannot be matched with a light socket or kicking a little lawnmower motor start. Friends, truck-mounted systems, wall plug-in systems, soap you glug in, does not work like the technology at 281 Dirt Free. 281 Dirt Free, D-I-R-T-F-R-E, 1-E, 281 Dirt Free, dirtfreecarpet.com. We have the most powerful cleaning system in the world. We start in your worst area. If you don't love us, you don't pay. Why should you call right now? Be one of the first 20 callers. You'll get three rooms for $100. You'll get a $100 free speed drive. We'll match your expenditures with a free service. 281 Dirt Free, dirtfreecarpet.com. Specials on tile, grout, leather drapes, upholstery, air ducts, your air duct returns, that dust you're seeing around the vent in your bedroom. Friends, don't breathe that. Let us get up there and clean it out. 281 Dirt Free, dirtfreecarpet.com. We're ready to take your calls right now.
All right. That's Aubrey Theodi with Dirt Free. Appreciate it, Aubrey. We'll talk to you next week, man.
Thanks.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
No Fred Fowler, John Lee here with A.J. Hoffman. And A.J., we got a very, very happy A.J.
Yes,
like,
sir.
Like, literally 2 seconds before, like, as the rejoin was playing, A.J. just yelled out a big yeah.
You know why?
Why?
Cal State Fullerton was -1.5.
Yes.
Cal State Fullerton 76. Long Beach State 74. Boom!
Congratulations.
That's called being on the right side.
Well,
right side of the number, my friend.
Hopefully this sets up for a good tournament for you.
I'm hoping. But I want to, like, I never win the bracket. I think I've come in like second or third around here a couple times.
Is it because you get too cute and smart?
It's because I only think about things from a
betting perspective.
From a against the spread standpoint. I wish they would find a good way to do an against the spread bracket, but I mean, it's tough. It's tough to come up with something like that. You can't, I do play in some games where, like, you pick your favorite, you pick a game in each region every day.
Yeah.
Of the tournament, like your favorite game against the spread, and you get points for it. And then it all accumulates through the whole season. But it's not quite the same as, like, you know, a bracket. The brackets are fun, but it's just not the same for me.
I think we only have a couple minutes here. You can do Hoffman on Hollywood?
Yeah. Guess what David Chase is doing?
What?
He is creating a prequel to The Sopranos.
Really?
Yeah. New Line Cinema bought the screenplay for the prequel titled The Many Saints of Newark. The film will take place in the 1960s New Jersey at a time when the African Americans and Italians of Newark were at each other's throats.
Is this a series or a series?
A movie, yeah. No release date's been set yet, but Chase will serve as the film's producer and a search for a director is underway. The new script is co-written with fellow Sopranos writer Lawrence Connor. Leaves open the opportunity for crossover appearances from the show's original characters. Although, I bet a lot of those guys are old now. But as the timeline leans, Tony's father, Giovanni Soprano, and Uncle Junior are the most likely to be crossover characters. You in on that?
Yes.
Hopfor Julius Bjornsson.
Huh?
That's the mountain from Game of Thrones.
Okay.
He set the world deadlift record. Did you guys see this?
I didn't see it, but I know that he's a giant, gigantic man.
Deadlift is, like, to me, if you say, okay, you're the strongest man in the world, deadlift is a good way of doing it, because it's like a full body lift.
Yeah, yeah.
1,041 pounds he deadlifted.
Oh.
I mean, how absurd is that?
Oh.
It's he's holding, there's a picture of him holding it up, and the bar is bending in his hands. I mean, and I watched this I watched this one guy do a lift, and while he was lifting, blood started spraying out of his nose. I tweeted it out.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Oh, it's crazy, man. But yeah, he sets the new deadlift record. Well, I guess we don't have more time. I'll have to get to Stormy Daniels' In Touch interview and Donald Trump's penis pictures tomorrow.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this was really, really fun, AJ.
Thank you, John. You did well, sir.
Oh, thank you. And tomorrow we'll be out at the Hyatt Regency. Till then, Fred will be back. Stay sportsy.